Dennis, I guess your introduction ability, maybe I should start calling you, what was his name? Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon. There you go. They introduced the star. Thank you all. We have finished up the book of Ephesians. We've gone now into the book of Philippians. We read for you from the first chapter. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear God, we come to you today with heavy hearts, because in this beautiful world that you've created, Satan has come in and brought evil. Wars and rumors are wars that will last until the time you send Jesus back for us. But they still hurt. They still take a great number of lives and property. And then yesterday we were reminded that we're not even safe in our own country for whatever reason, for whatever cause, none of which are explainable, none of which are acceptable. Mass number of lives were taken both in Texas and Ohio. Be with the grieving families. Make us strong, Father, not give up and not give in to Satan. We thank you for the heroes that helped in both those events, the people who just went out of their way to do the right thing. Let us not be discouraged, Father. Be with our military. Be with our missionaries. Be with our first responders who acted so well yesterday. Be with us that we may be able to serve others. Bless this congregation that we may be a beacon of light and the good news carried to others. And strengthen us. I be with your speaker this day, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you think you're hearing the name Paul a lot, you are. For Paul wrote for us these epistles, which actually means letters. Over half the New Testament is from the pen of, well, probably from the pen of Luke, who wrote it down as Paul dictated it. But it's important because he's given us life guides. The first four books we call the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were given to us of how to live in relationship with Jesus, with God, and with the Holy Spirit. But then he goes on with Paul and the different people he traveled and the situations he got into, and he tells us about how to live life with others. Because not every day is Sunday morning from 11:30, from 10:30 to 11:30. Or Wednesdays from 11 to 2 o'clock, or whatever we get through talking. We have general life to live. And through the guidelines that Paul gives us in our relationship, first with God and then with others, our lives and the lives of others can be made better. Just listen to his introduction, if you would. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ. Paul did not say, hey, I'm the master apostle. He did not say, I'm the prolific writer. He did not say, I'm the one who spoke in front of thousands and tens of thousands of peoples. He calls himself a servant. And that servant attitude that he carried throughout of his life is a good example for us. For no matter what our position in life is, a potentate or a king or just someone who works with our hands daily, and I'm not saying just because that's a task in itself, but we have a responsibility to be servants to others. And as we do that, we're a servant to Christ. For he told us that which you do to someone else, you've done unto me. So when we've been kind, when we've been helpful, when we've been loving, we're doing it to Christ. There were some tremendous interviews. If you watch the news, and I had it on for about 6 hours yesterday. Young man in the military. Carried his own weapon. He would explain, I've got legal weapons and everything. Was in the mall and running out and heard the shots. And there he saw a bunch of children who had been separated from their parents. Risking his own life of not getting out any faster, he stopped down and grabbed hold of a bunch of those kids and picked them up and carried them out of harm's way, knowing that he could have been the one shot in the back as well. But he was servant to those children. And stayed around until they could help reunite him with as many parents as they could. The line was out, the blood was needed. If you saw the TV, around the block, they ran out of empty blood bags. You can call them blood bags? Blood collection devices. How about that? That sounds better. Yeah, you go. They ran out of them. So many people volunteered to give a part of their time and a part of their physical body for those in need. And there will be a lot of visits, and there will be the doctors and nurses and EMS, all those who are taking care of others. Last evening, about midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, at that bar in Dayton, there was an active shooter. And the police officers went up against a guy who had on body armor and a shooting instrument, a rifle, I assume, from what I've heard. They used the term long gun. The long gun was the Philadelphia and the Pennsylvania and Kentucky long rifles. We don't call them long guns. You may if you wish. That's not what they are. They're rifles. And they went against him and saved lives for others. That's being a servant to others. Now, I also think your trips to the hospital, your trips to the nursing home, your phone calls, your baking pies on the second Sunday of the month, I think those are service too. At least the last one I think hold particular in my heart anyway. But there are things we can do that others need that you may not get a medal or a badge or accommodation for, but you're still serving Jesus. And I think that's so important. And if you've ever been helped by someone in your time of need, a phone call or whatever it was, you say, that person has helped me, and thank God for them. So Paul says, I and Timothy was his protege, Timothy are servants of Jesus Christ to all God's holy people. I love that word. To God's holy people. We weren't born holy. Now, if you have grandchildren, you probably think, well, that's just a gift of God. He's a grandchild. They're just the most specialist thing in the world. Ours have been gone for a week in Chicago. I'm saying, when are they coming back? They'll send Becky pictures. They won't send me pictures over the phone. So I think I've still got 2 granddaughters somewhere. I just don't know where they are. But we're God's holy people. Colin made mention to it when he talked about the Holy Spirit. It's in the second chapter of Acts, verse 38 and following. What must we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what makes us God's holy people, because one part of the Trinity is within our soul. So we truly are God's holy people in Christ Jesus. We're not holy because we have degrees of college, because we have skills, because we have athletic abilities or whatever it is. We're special because we belong to Jesus. And when at times it gets to us and we're beginning to wonder, God, why is all this evil in the world? So much going on. And his answer is, you have freedom of choice. You can do right or you can do wrong. His answer is, there was evil in this world in the year 30 AD when I allowed them to arrest illegally, try illegally, and crucify my only begotten Son for your sins. Yes, there's evil in this world, but I will guarantee you from everything I read and everything that I believe that there is no evil in heaven, that it will be past perfect. We don't even have words to describe it. It is that good and that special, and we need to understand. For us to be a part of it, we've got to give our lives to Jesus. We need to say those words. Matthew 16:16, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then we add on, I accept you as my Savior. And we saw in the book of Acts, and be buried in the water grave of baptism to be with him. To rise to walk a new creature filled with the Holy Spirit. See, that makes us the holy people. He says, all right. Not only that, the people, but together with the overseers. Some of you may have the word bishop in there. Some of you may have the word elders in there. It depends on which translation you're using. But it's the leaders. So the people and the leaders of the church both should be important and respect and serve. And then he gives us a little bit of them. We call them attaboys, I think. Blessings maybe as well. Grace Have you ever realized when the good things and the forgiveness comes to us, it's because of that grace that's forgotten our sin? Peace to you. Do you ever go to bed at night with someone through the next day, you just rock and roll all night long? I don't. Man, my head hits the pillow. I count backwards, 99, 98, 90. Is it 5:30 already? That's what happens to me. But some people toss and turn because it's something just to eat them up. Maybe somebody else, maybe what we're doing to ourselves, I don't know. But that peace can come to us. Children's song goes, I've got peace like a river. If you've ever seen a beautiful just river just flowing, I'm not talking about the Ohio, the Mississippi, where it's muddy and dirty. I'm talking about a spring, maybe like the one that we were in Pueblo, Colorado in the sixth grade, July the 4th. There was frost on the ground. We're up on top of a mountain. We went up to the top of there, and there was a spring coming down. We're barefooted. We're from Kentucky. It's July the 4th. You don't wear shoes on July the 4th. Put my foot in that water and thought I had to be treated for frostbite. But it was clear, that snow melting. It was just beautiful. Peace like the river. We've got to accept that. Peace like the river to you from our Lord. See, Paul's not blessing us. The blessing comes from God. Paul doesn't have the right to bless us. He can extend the blessing, but the blessings come from God. And he says, from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Two-thirds of the Trinity is mentioned right there. The Holy Spirit's right in front. So in two verses, he's already got the whole Trinity covered. Now, why is Paul writing these people? It's a strange situation. Philippi used to be Galatia. It was captured by King Philip II of Macedon. He captured it because it was full of gold mines all around it. And even at the latter days, it was still producing 1,000 talents of gold per year, multi-millions of dollars. He brought the civilization from Greece to it. And even though there had been battles between him and the Romans, and finally the Romans took it away from him, and it became a Roman city, it was very populous. It was on the side of a bank of a very steep hillside, and it was by a fast-running, beautiful and deep stream that went all the way out into the sea. Ships would come back and forth and bring products. It was a great fertile area. They would grow a lot of crops. Matter of fact, one of the three citizens that we hear about in the book of Acts 17th chapter is a lady by the name of Lydia who made her money by weaving and coloring. She was a seller of purple, coloring the cloth, the purple cloth and all, that was made from the flax in that area and also from the sheep. So a very productive area. It's the same town that Paul had driven the evil demons out of the young slave girl, the same town that he was put in jail. But he was broken out of jail by the Holy Spirit. And that's when the Philippian jailer was about to kill himself, because if you lose a prisoner, you're going to die anyway. And Paul stopped and said, we're still here. We've just been beaten up badly for something we didn't do. And he took him home and mended him and brought him to his family. So there's the background on that city. Paul would go back on his first, on his second, that was the second journey, go back on his third journey as well. And he loved these people. Some of you probably, now that email's around, we don't write letters, but some of you done emails to friends that you knew in the past. And you're saying, do you remember? Those pictures back on the wall. We're remembering the past there. Paul's remembering the past with him. That's why he went back. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day into now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You pray, I'm like, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord. That's a terrible prayer to teach children. I'm going to die tonight, Mom. Don't go. Leave the light on. One of them monsters is coming out from underneath the bed or out of the closet, and they're going to attack me. You know? Well, that's where most of us started. Paul says, every time I pray to God, you're in my prayers. And I don't think prayers are ever wasted. For not only do they help the person we're praying for, they help us as we pray. Pray for your friends. Pray for your home church. Pray for those you've known in your life. Pray for those who are in need. It's important because God hears every prayer. I always pray with joy. Are you ever happy? If you got a call from a friend, a long-lost friend, somebody you really enjoyed growing up with, played ball with them, did Barbie stuff. Do girls still do Barbie stuff? Do Barbie stuff with them, whatever it was. School, classmate, it doesn't matter. You're just, thanks for calling. I'm so glad to talk to you again. It's been a long time. I would hope that's not what God says when we talk to him. He says, thanks for calling. It's been a long time. He's not changed his address, and you don't need a computer to get to him. He's there for us. Paul is telling us how important. Every time I remember you, I thank God for you. Their partnership. Now here it is, the teacher, the writer, the scholar. The best in his days, without doubt in my mind whatsoever. Thanking people that lived in towns, most of whom would never get out, most of whom would be poor, or standard living would be moderate at the best. But they were a part of his life. Think for just 1 second. School starts a week from tomorrow for most people. You remember a teacher somewhere in those 12 or 13 or 14 or 20 years, whatever it took? You remember a teacher that really helped you along or made your life a little easier? You see, Paul's talking about people like that and praying for them as well. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. We're partners. We're partnerships in the gospel. Do we not send missionaries out? Do we not have events for people? Do we not have an open for those who are baptized, a communion time? Do we not have prayer time? Yeah, we do. So we're partners just like they were for Paul, and we help. And I'm sure that our missionaries appreciate our partnership. We get letters, Denise. Do we put the letters up, Denise? Becky puts the letters up so you can see how they're doing, what's going on. That's a partnership. Not all of us could or really would want to go to Africa or foreign places. We help them make it and do it. We're partners in that. From the first day until now, being confident of this, that he, and we support the anti-abortion group too. That was full, it wouldn't have fallen. And because of your partnership in the first day, now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on in completion until the day of Christ. The last phrase is the key phrase. Until the day of Christ. I make no pretense. I'm telling you the honest truth. I do believe the Bible word for word. And the Bible tells us, as late on as the day that the apostles were gathered, the day that Jesus went back up into heaven, and two men in white, meaning angels, said, "Men of Galilee, why do you look in the sky? This same Jesus who just went up shall return one day to take that belong those who belong." And we're told the dead shall give up the grave, and the sea shall give up the dead. The grave shall give up the dead, the sea shall give up the dead. And those yet who are still alive shall join him in the sky. I believe that with all my heart. I couldn't live if there wasn't that kind of hope. And because of that hope, we need to say, yeah, come on and get us when you're ready. Maranatha, we call it Greek, but it's not really Greek. It's a Semitic word, means come quickly, Lord Jesus. Now, I have heard the word, the phrase, they died before their time. We don't know what our time is. It's God's time. We don't have a decision about that. It's God who does. But I tell you this, in my first prayer last night when I heard about it, I hope those people who were murdered, and it's murder, I'm sorry, but that's what it is, those people who were murdered there, had made their plans to be with Jesus. and had followed him and were obedient to him. And I hope that each day when we live here, we try to help others, starting with ourselves and our families, know that when that time comes, when that day of the coming of Jesus Christ, that we are ready, whether we're in the grave, whether we're in the sea, whether we're here on earth. Because he'll take the souls that belong to him and harvest them and take them to meet his Father. And what a grand reunion. What a tremendous reunion that will be. A year ago, next month, I went up to Kentucky to my 100th family reunion. And I met people that I not only had never seen them, I'd never heard of them. But they had the name Elam somewhere in their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, or whatever it was. And we spent about 4 hours in a rain about like it is now, talking about the good old days and how glad we were to meet each other. Can you imagine a family reunion where you're standing on blocks of gold, where the gates are huge pearls, where the walls are made out of gems, where there's no sun or moon because all the light comes from the throne of God, and through the middle of the pathway of the street is a river flowing that feeds the 12 trees of life. That's better than a buffet at a Chinese restaurant with pie. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you. Paul says it's okay. Since I have you in my heart, whether I'm in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share God's grace with me. It's okay to have friends. We don't have to do this by ourselves. Many of you are here because a friend invited you. Becky invited Irene while we were playing bridge, getting beat to death. So we said, well, I got to change that woman. I got to get her in church. Whether I'm in chains, and Paul had been in chains multiple times, whether I'm defending the gospel, people are challenging it, or whether I'm confirming the gospel, telling who believes it. We all can be in different of those positions. Now, most of us, unless you get in the way of the law, or unless the Muslims come in and take over with the caliphate, most of us are not going to be in chains, physical chains. But there are a lot more people who are on emotional chains, whose hearts are chained, whose mind is chained, because they can't let go and see what the future holds. And then no matter what condition you are in life, young or old, and quite honestly, most of us are a little bit past the young age. Let me tell you what. Young at heart may be a good phrase. But if you've been digging with a shovel the day before for about 6 hours, it ain't young in body anymore, I'm telling you what. Let's go on. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus. Paul cares about you. You ever care about anybody? See, a lot of people are just disassociated. They have no friends. They have no relations. They have nobody they can count on. Paul cared for his people, prayed for his people, loved his people. You know, he didn't know them that well for that long. They were friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. We go on in verse 9. And this is my prayer. If you've got all that's the introduction. This is my prayer that you may love, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight. And that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. I want you to be right. I want you to be happy. I want you to be solid. Now, this guy's been in prison. He's been beaten. He's been stoned near to death. Been run out of towns one after another. But he still cares that your love may abound. It's just more and more. Lucy. Remember, I love Lucy. Remember the day that she wanted to make better bread? So she added a whole bunch more yeast to it. Now, honestly, that's not going to happen. It would have filled the oven, but still. And the bread just keeps coming and coming, you know, 9, 10, 12. It just keeps on coming and coming and coming out. That's abounding. There used to be a men's shaving cream called Edge. It was green. It was slimy looking. But you put a little bitty squirt, and all of a sudden, You ever seen that? It just foamed out. That's abounding. When you get hold of the cereal bowl and you thought one shake would do it, it didn't seem to be coming out. All of a sudden, the whole bowl got full and on the floor got full. That's abounding. He wants our love to be abounding. It's just that strong. More and more. And learning knowledge in depth. This is what we're doing. We're in knowledge now. Sunday school is knowledge. Wednesday's in knowledge. We need to learn more about him. I would tell you that before I got involved in the family research, before Becky got me involved in my family research, I had no idea that I had a great-great-grandfather named Jeremiah Squire Elam, who had 22 children, 11 by the first wife, wore her out, married another one, 11 more. Well, I mean, she died, but I think probably from over childbirth. I don't know, since not having a child. But I didn't know that. But with the research and finding out, that's important in my life to know. Not in your life, but it's in mine. We need to find out things that are important and go after them. We get more knowledge. We get depth of insight. Ah! Makes sense now. The fellow by the name of Einstein, I don't know if y'all ever heard him or not. Billy Einstein or something like that. I don't even know if it's his first name. Albert, that's his first name. Sitting on a tree and said, God's wrong. He was sitting on a tree and said, God's wrong. Here's this big old huge oak tree. And it had little bitty nuts on it. Acorns. Right next to a watermelon patch. He said, God is wrong. You got this little skinny vine and them big old fat watermelons. And his little old acorn on his huge tree. And he said, God is wrong. Until about that time, an acorn hit him in the head. That's why we don't have watermelons 12 foot in the air. You see, the depth of our insight, we learn and we grow so that you may be able to discern what is best. Discern, to decide, to figure it out. What is best? Do we know what is best? Well, we should if we're educated about it. And on certain topics, things we know more about things than not. I have learned you do not exchange baking soda for baking powder when you're making biscuits, unless you're making rock biscuits that are bitter. Certain things we get insight on. We learn what is best. And then we may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Here we go back to that day of Christ again. Now, you can't undo a sin. But the pure and blameless part is simply this. The sins can be forgiven. And when that happens, they are wiped out, never to be spoken of again by God. So on that day of judgment, we may come to him pure and blameless, filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ. You can't earn righteousness. It's a gift for being obedient. It's a gift from Christ. So we've got filled with the fruit of righteousness. And when you're feeling good, when you're happy, when you're helping others, you feel good about that. Through Christ and to the glory and praise of God. I tell you what, I don't know what time you all got up, but if you ever give up and you get up and you don't have to drive at 6:30 in the morning, and you see that sun coming up from the east, you got to have a howdy doody thank you, God. And if you're ever fortunate enough to be down on the beach and you see that sun dip down in the water and those green flashes come through you, you got to go, this, I'm impressed. Or even after a storm, an afternoon storm, when the clouds become pink and fluffy and the sun comes through them, do you thank God for that? That's all he wants us to do. Appreciate what he's done for us and obey him. The song is trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy than Jesus, in Jesus, than to trust and obey. How well do you trust him today? Our hymn of invitation decision, Pam, I'm sorry. 552, the lady says.